Morning. My name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Live Ministry. Some of you are going to be listening to this on radio, so you're not going to see me. Others are going to watch it on the video, YouTube, Facebook. We've got on our website, we've got just the audio as well, but we've got ways that you can see it. And I was telling my wife when I was just doing audio, I didn't have to worry about my beard or my hair or anything, but if you're watching it on any media, we appreciate you and thank you very much for doing that and supporting us in prayers and with monetary gifts that keep us on the air, because it costs us to pay the radio station. But we really do appreciate you helping us out. And this morning I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 12. And I had this message, I was getting it prepared, and it's about faith. It's about just stepping out. And then got a text from a friend of mine that was thinking about stepping out and was unsure of it. And I had to reassure him and myself as well, because I have to do this on a periodic basis to let myself know there's a difference between just believing God and the fact that he'll do it and actually having faith in him that he will do it. And verse 1 of chapter 12 of Genesis says this: Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from my father's house, to a land I will show thee. Just let me pray a little bit. Dear Father, we just thank you for this word. Pray that it will do what you would have it to do, because you've said it always will. And I thank you for the opportunities in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this, we look at this time he was called Abram. He wasn't even called Abraham. This was later on, but God had a plan for Abram. He had something in mind for him. He was giving him something out, but he says, and the Lord said unto Abram. Now listen, God is trying to speak to us. I want us to know that right away. God is always trying to speak to us. If you're a child of God, he's trying to speak to you. We just don't listen very well. Number one is reading his word. Reading this right here and going, okay, we learn by example. We see this in other people's lives, that things happen and things that they were doing. And we need to do that. We need to get into that as well. He speaks to us and other people as well that have lived a life and can help us out and say, hey, I've gone through what you've gone through and I know what you're doing. Let me tell you what happened with me. Let me tell you how it happened and give us that. But he's always trying to speak to you. He's trying to speak to you right now. This word that I just read will speak to you in mighty ways. Maybe my words won't mean a whole lot to you, but the words in this Bible will speak to you. And we gotta have that. This word of God is just that. It's the word of God. This was not written down just so we could have a really good story to read or anything like that. This is written down for us so that we may know Jesus and then know our life in him. And so we gotta have this. He said, and the Lord God said unto Abram. Now, I've heard people say, well, I heard it in a loud, audible voice. I tell you, I don't think God speaks that way anymore, because we've got the clear word of God. There may be stuff come to you and you say, well, that sounded like an audible voice. That was you and God speaking through his word, reminding you of that and those things. And you may say, well, I heard God speak right to me. Well, he said that he wasn't going to do that anymore once his word was complete. But, I'm not going to dispute with you. But I'm telling you right now, God's word is the way to hear him. You get into this, you can listen to it and see what he's got for you. Now, I said that faith and believing are different. Faith is following him and doing these things and doing after him. Now, the Bible tells us over in Hebrews, I want to read this to you. I just don't want to. It said, verse 6 of chapter 11, Hebrews, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, you can believe in God and not have faith. You can believe in God and say, well, I know there's a God, but not have faith. And I've given this example before, and I'll give it again. When I was a kid, growing up, out back, we had a pump house. Now, when I got grown and I went back down there, the pump house was really not that tall. But as a kid, I used to crawl up on it. And I would crawl up there and my dad would say, jump. Man, I would jump, man. It didn't take any thought. I would just do it. I didn't look at him. I didn't, think, well, what? I would just, hey, all right, man. I would just arms wide and jump. My dad would catch me. And we did that for quite a while, you know, and I thought that was the greatest thing. But then, you know, later on, as I got older, my dad would say, jump. And I would say, I can't, you know, because I would look at him and I would say, hey, you know, he's not as big as I thought he was. And I think I'm getting a little bigger. And what if he dropped me, you know? And I would eventually look at him and I would just like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to jump down there, you know? And see, I still believed in my dad. I believed that he was real. I could look at him and I could say he was real, but I didn't have any faith in him anymore. I didn't have the faith that he was going to catch me, that he was going to keep me from falling and getting hurt. And see, so that led me to not do what he'd asked me to do. He told me to jump, and you know, I would look at him and I'll crawl down. You know, I crawled up here, I'll crawl down. I'm not going to do this. And so there was a lack of faith, even though there was a belief. And that's what I'm talking about. You may believe in God and you say, yeah, he's there. But when it comes right down to it, you don't trust him. You don't follow him. And I'm telling you, it's difficult sometimes. It's very difficult. Abram's case is a point here we need to take, because he wasn't promised an answer of where he was going. He said, God spoke to him and he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. He said, I want you to separate yourself from everything you know, everything that is familiar, everything that is comforting to you, all the people that are comforting to you. He said, I want you to get out of your country, from your kindred, your people, and from your family. So he said, I want you to completely abandon everything that you know. Folks, that is difficult to do. And we can look at that and we go, well, I would have done it. I kind of doubt that. Look at your life. Look at the things God has wanted you to do. And I'm not talking about, you know, he wants me to do a VBS or he wants me to do a Sunday school class. You know, people do these kinds of things. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about actually following Christ and giving your heart to Jesus Christ and then following him after that, telling people about Jesus, letting them know, hey, there's a Savior. Folks, we really need to be doing that. We need to get out there. This is personal evangelism. I'm going to keep preaching on this until God calls me home. We need to be letting everybody know about Jesus. I'm not talking about inviting them to church. I'm not telling them that they need to become a Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or anything like that. I'm not talking about doing that. I'm talking about sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that takes getting out of where you are. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to move off to a foreign country. There are people that do that, and thank God for that. I have never been called to do that, to feel like I've been called to do that. But I have been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I will continue to do that. And sometimes it is a scary proposition to do those kinds of things, to get out away from everything and everybody. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you don't even get treated right. And Abram, he ran into some things, and he ended up doing some things wrong. But, you know, he told him, he said, I want you to get out of there. I want you to leave that. Now, I want to have a little message to you preachers out there. A lot of you will church shop, and you use it as a career move. You'll find you another church before you leave the church that God is telling you to leave. And you say, well, God told me to leave that church, but you won't leave that church until you find another one. You're wrong. And I'm going to tell you, I've told preachers this to their face. If you feel like God's calling you away from that church and he hasn't given you another church, then you leave that church because you're not supposed to be there. But don't do this little deal, send your resume out to 5, 6, 7, 8 churches and try to find you a larger church. I see that all the time, and I'm telling you, it's beginning to disgust me with you preachers that do that, and especially you churches that will go and hire somebody away from another church, you know, and then you say, well, I was called of God to go here. No, you weren't. And don't even tell me that. That's just my little pet peeve. And if you don't like it, well, that's okay. You've probably been wrong before and you wrong again. But God called him out away from everyone that was around him. Now, this is a big deal. When God calls people to get saved, he calls you away from your world. He calls you away from your family. He calls you away from your kindred, because when you get saved, you are now in foreign territory. You are not a citizen of this world anymore. You are now a citizen of the kingdom, and you are supposed to act accordingly. You're supposed to follow after the king of that kingdom, which is Jesus Christ. You're supposed to follow his words. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, we were talking about churches and talking about how they hurt people and they do things, and that's a very real thing. And I said, well, you know, as long as you got people involved, that's going to happen. And they said, well, but they're supposed to be different. And that's the case. Problem we've got in our nation, especially in our nation around us, I see this all the time. We got a church house full of people who have never accepted Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because their lives are not changed. Not at all. And then people go, well, you know, that's the way they've always been. And they, you know, they're all time talking about what I do and how I do this and all this kind of thing. They were not called out. They're still amongst them. See, Abram had to leave. He could have stayed right there and said, okay, God, well, you know, you show me what you need me to do and I'll see how it works out. Well, people, we're doing this kind of thing. We're saying, well, God wants me to do that and God wants me to do that. And this and that and all these kinds of things. And you've never once asked God, what do you really want me to do? You know, you just go to him and you say, hey, here's where I want to go and here's how I want to get there. And we've all done it. Believe me, even pastors, preachers, we've all done it. We've all said this. One of my teachers in seminary was talking one time and he said, you know, if we're honest with one another, we've done this. We've gone places before we even consulted God and said, oh God, we want you to bless this. Maybe you want to get back closer to home or something like that. And it's a tough proposition. Stepping out away from everything you know is a tough proposition. Stepping out without knowing where you're going. We all want to know where we're going. We've got GPSs. We used to have maps. We'd look at it. I remember used to, if I was going to go to a new place, I'd get my map down. I'd get my map and I'd look at it and I'd plan my route. You know, I'd know how to get there. I'd know where to go. And, you know, and sometimes you'd get there and there'd be a roadblock or something happened, you know, and you didn't know about it. And you'd have, well, I got to go somewhere different. I've done it. My son lives in Kentucky. One time we went over there, going the route we usually went, and it was flooded and the bridge was closed off and we had to, okay, I had to reroute. I called a friend of mine and said, hey, you're from over here. Tell me how to get to where I'm going. And they did. But you know, we do these things. Our GPSs, you know, we want to follow them. We want to know where we're going. We know how we're going to get there. We want to know all this stuff. We don't want unknowns in it if we can help from it. And see, serving God is an unknown. We don't know where this world's going to lead us. We don't know how it's going to lead us. And so we look at these things and we're afraid to step out. And so this is what he's asking him. He spoke to him, number one. Now he gives him what he wants him to do, to step out. Folks, Jesus Christ is wanting you to step out this morning and accept him. He's wanting you to accept that free gift of salvation. And I know if you're looking at it, you know, you're not saved and you're thinking about this and you're watching this or you're listening to it, you're going, but all my friends, all my family, you know, I can't turn my back on them. You're turning toward God. And that's the whole point. Jesus is saying, hey, follow me. That's what he did on the shores of Galilee. He went down through there and he said, come follow me. That was an amazing thing that those guys did. They left their careers. They left their fishing boats. They left their family. And he said, come follow me. That's what Jesus is asking you this morning. He's saying, come follow me. Get away from everything. Get away from what you know. Get away from what you're doing. Come follow me. That's what he's asking you this morning. And again, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We got to have that faith. We got to have it in our lives. And we've got to step out. So he said, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Everything you know, everything you've ever loved, I want you to step away from it. And he said, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, he didn't say, okay, Abram, I need you to step out and I need you to go over here. He said, I need you to step out first. That first step is the toughest because that's the one that is going to lead us on. That's the one that leads us on. You know, I watched a movie one time and the journey begins with one step. And that's what it is. The journey with Jesus Christ begins with one step. You need to step out and say, I know I'm a sinner because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. I know the wages of sin is death. I know, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know those things and I'm going to step out. I'm going to step towards that. I'm going to step because Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, oh, I thought that was in Romans. This is the word of Jesus. Every single word. And he's talking to us and he's telling us that, and you got to step out. And then what he said, he says, come follow me. Follow me. Do what he says. Do what he did. Live like he lived, you know. Take every day and say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. Every single day, I'm going to step out. And that's what it is, folks. It's not just one time. It's every single day stepping out. Say, Lord, I'm stepping out today. I'm stepping out to the land you will show me, to that place you will show me. What are you going to bring to me today? You know, it may just be solace. It may just be prayer that day. It may be that time alone, like we talked about last week with Jesus. It may be something that seems uneventful. Then again, it may be leading you to somebody, you know, and you'll say, well, you know, there's nobody today. I'm not going to talk to me. I'm telling you, if you will step out and tell Jesus I'm stepping out, there will be something happening and it will be great in your life. You may be coming closer to someone. You may be getting to plant that seed with someone and saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Whatever it is, do it. Do it. Step out. Step out today. Say, Lord, I am willing. I am ready. I want to do this. I don't want to be back up into a corner. Abram was a man. When we read these stories, I want you to understand that these were real people and they were real events and they were doing these things. This was not easy for him. He wasn't just going, hey, you know, I think I want to leave today. No, God spoke to him and told him these things, and he didn't come up with it on his own. God spoke to him. Open yourself up as an individual, as a church. Open yourself up and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? It may be to stop doing something. Some churches are so busy doing stuff that they're not even worshiping. They're not spreading the gospel. They're so busy doing stuff that their minds are clouded all the time and just clouded up, and they can't do anything because they're just doing stuff. And then they get this thing. We've always done it. You know, I've been in churches and I've told them, if you don't have enough people to do something, you shouldn't do it because you're going to mess it up. You're going to do it wrong. Pray for God to send somebody. Do something that you can do. I'll tell you right now, you can sit down on a bench with somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ and see that they get saved. See, it's the responsibility of the church to see people get saved, not to entertain them. We have gotten away from that. We think that that's what we've got to do. We've got to entertain it. We got to have great music. We've got to have great environment and atmosphere and padded pews and bring them in. And we've got to entertain them because that's what it's going to take. We're entertaining people straight into hell instead of telling them about Jesus Christ. Some of the most active churches are in little bitty buildings that are old, that creak when you walk on the floor, that all have old hard pews, but they've got people in there that are teaching and talking about Jesus Christ. They got a pastor that's preaching the word of God. They got people that are sitting in the pews going, I want to hear the word of God. I don't want to hear the stuff that's going to just scratch my ears because they're itchy a little bit. I want to really hear that. They have stepped out away from things. And then some of the worst things that are happening in some of our larger churches because they're getting up there. I've seen people go to different churches and you talk to them and you go, well, wow, man, that's really growing. You know, what are they doing? Well, they've got great music. Like, wow, that's fantastic. What are they doing for the Lord? Well, they've got great music. And see, that's the only thing drawing them in. And they're having services that are convenient for people and things like now. And even today, now we've got, we've gone through COVID and still going through it. And we got, well, you know, they do this and they do that. I don't even have to go to church. You know, I can listen to it anytime I want to. And then here's what will happen. Cause I've seen this. We saw that at first our viewership was way up and then all of a sudden it started going down too. It started just creeping down. You know, people weren't in the pews. They weren't at home listening. They were going and doing other things because first they started out doing it and then they weren't because they weren't committed. They weren't ready to step out. And it's just like the entertainment was gone. It was a way we did things where they could come in and park in the parking lot. No, we can't do that. You know, we might be breathing some air that would float around here. See, we have little faith. We don't have any kind of faith really in most churches. It's just null and void. It's gone. They're mad at everyone. They're mad at the preacher. They're mad at somebody else because of something that was happening. And they blame everybody else instead of looking at themselves and going, hey, it's because of me. When's the last time you prayed and said, God, guide me. Just guide me. Just do what you would with me. You know, and I'm ready to go to a land that you're going to show me. And again, I'm not talking about going to a foreign country. Everybody goes, well, that's what you're talking about. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going and talking to your neighbor. Talking about going to your coworker. The one that you don't know if they're saved or not because you've never asked them, you've never talked to them. And I'm going to keep that separate. You see, that's the problem. We got our little religious life, and that's all it becomes, just religious. It's not a faith-based life. It's just a religious life. I got this over here, and I don't mix it with anything else. Well, the problem is you don't mix it with anything. You don't mix it with your life. You don't have any faith at all. What you need to do is you need to get saved. Well, I've been a member of the church for 25 years. Yeah, you need to get saved. You need to truly commit your life to Jesus Christ. It's not just about you. It's not just about filling a pew. It's not just about doing things. It's not being a philanthropist or anything else. It's about truly committing to Jesus Christ. Abraham had that, and it even talks about him in the Bible, because it talks about him in this chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abraham. Verse 17 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, by faith, Abraham. See, and this is talking about when he took Isaac up to be sacrificed, but he had faith. But see, he needed to know he had faith. You need a little test. Try your faith out. See if you truly believe. Do you really have faith? Well, step out and see what God will do. We want the safety net. We want to make sure that we're not going to fall. We're like me when I look down at my dad and go, I don't think you can catch me anymore. You know, we look at God like that and we say, well, God, I know you can do a lot of great things, and maybe you've worked in that guy's life or this guy's life, but I'm telling you, I don't think you can catch me anymore. And so we're afraid of that, and we won't go out and we won't do that. I'm going to tell you right now, come on in. The water's fine. Following Jesus Christ is not the easiest thing in the world, but it is the greatest thing in the world. It's not easy to do because it's completely opposite of what the world will tell us. And you'll even find preachers on TV that will tell you different things. But I'm telling you, it's not the easiest thing in the world because we're stepped out. We're different. We're supposed to be different. We ought to stand out from people. We ought not to be the same. We ought to be completely different. So it's not the easiest thing in the world, but it is the best thing in the world. Now, do we have little setbacks? Man, let me tell you something. My life is an example of little setbacks. And you go out there and things happen and you say, oh, what is going, you know, you're beating your head, you know, you're angry and what is going on here? But then you got to come back to it, you know, and that's one reason I love the Psalms, because David does that so much. He's like, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, they're all around me. The enemies are coming here, you know, and I always think about it, you know, you're out there and the wolves are coming in on you. You know, you've got God's provided you something to eat. You know, you've had a kill. You've got a deer down there and the wolves are coming in on you. Our area, it's coyotes. And you're thinking, man, what's going on? You know, something good happened and now everything's going bad. See, we don't have the faith. We don't have the faith that God can keep them at bay. But in the Psalms, David starts out and he says, you know, everything's going wrong and people are coming around me. You know, having a little pity party. And believe me, I can be a pity party planner. I'm pretty good at it. I can have these pity parties myself, you know, and you get to this point and you feel like everything's falling down, and David would get to that point, but then at the end of it, he would always go, oh, wait a minute, you're God. It's okay. It's okay. And I have to do that every single day, it seems like. You start focusing on the negative, but then you look around and you go, wait a minute, but you're God. You've always worked this out. You have for these guys in the Bible. You've worked it out in my life. You've worked out in other people's lives. I know that are truly faith-filled people, and you worked it out for them. And maybe it didn't seem like it at first, but you did. And so we got to look at that, and we got to go, okay, God, you are God, and you're going to take care of this, just like Abram did. Now, did he have some tough times? You bet he did. Did his family have some tough time? Yeah, you can go over there and you read about Lot. He loved Lot, you know, but Lot ended up putting his tent towards Sodom. He ended up in Sodom, and God was just like, please, God, please. Abram was. He was like, please, God, just let, you know, if there's just a few, let them out. And he did, but, you know, he was pleading, please, God, just, and maybe you're doing that with somebody in your life too, and maybe it's tough, you know, because Abram didn't know. He did not know what God was going to do. He didn't know he was going to bring him out. He just knew he was going to destroy that place that his loved one was. Maybe you got a loved one right now that's in trouble, and you're looking at it, and you're going, hey, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with him, you know, and you're pleading with God. Please, God, please, God, please, God, you know. What are you praying for? Just get them out of there? Or are you praying that they'll find Jesus? Have you told them about Jesus? You know, not in a condescending way, but just tell them, hey, you know, I need to tell you about this. I need you to understand this. Now, I want to read to you in verse 2 of chapter 12 of Genesis, because I want you to understand that he didn't leave him without anything. He didn't just say, oh, come out to land, I'll show you, and don't worry about the rest. No, he says something to him. In verse 2, he's got him something. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You see, he gave him a promise. He gave him a promise. He said, I want to make a great nation of you. And everybody that comes against you is going to be cursed. And everybody that's going to bless you is going to be blessed. That's why the United States needs to be with Israel. And all these politicians that turn away from Israel, you need to get them out of office. You need to let them know, hey, you're doing the wrong thing. And if you're one of these people who, well, I don't believe in Israel, well, then you're wrong. Right there, you're wrong. If you're a child of God and you say, well, I don't believe in what they're doing, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Why? Because God's word says you are. And he told him, he said, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not just Israel, not just you. And see, that's one thing. Israel got away from that too. They got to thinking it was just us. But right there, the promise was to Abram that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How? Through the Savior, through the one that would be sent, through the one that died on the cross, through the one that was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, because it was prophesied, who died on that cross and defeated this so that we can have eternal life if you'll just accept him. But see, we're forgetting the promises. Promises were made to us that, hey, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. Those are promises. Those are things that are said to us. But we look at it and go, well, if they don't love us, and you know, we're not really doing what Jesus, because everybody loved Jesus. They crucified him. Come on now. Not everybody loved Jesus. They didn't just stand around going, oh, kumbaya. You know, we think that right now. We think, well, if everybody in our community loves us, then we're doing the right thing. Well, that's not true. If everybody in the community loves you, you're doing the wrong thing, because you're spreading the message as against the human nature. You're telling people that they're lost and they're dying and they're going to hell, and you need to get that out there. And so we've got these things in our minds that we're not right. You know, we think, well, God's going to just... God will provide a way. And we look for that way before we do it, you know, and we'll stand up and say, well, you know, we've never done it like that before. You know, it doesn't work. You know, well, it didn't work because you weren't waiting on God. It didn't work because you were just sitting there and just going, I don't care. You know, get up, get out. Serving God is not sitting in a church pew. It's going out those doors and seeing people. It's in your daily life. Talking to people about Jesus Christ. It's messing up sometimes and having to go to God and go, I messed up, man. Help me to do better. I'm going to learn from that. I'm not going to do that again. It's getting sometimes that you're supposed to be an emissary in this life. It's not going and talking to people sometimes when the Holy Spirit's leading you, so that you can learn next time. You better go talk to them, because you don't know what time you've got. We look around and we think, oh, well, I've got all this time in the world. We don't know that. Abram didn't know what time he had. We don't know what time we've got. We need to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone right now. And I want to tell you right now, you're lost and dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. But thank God that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Thank God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God that it's open to everyone. Have you ever prayed and accepted Christ? You say, I don't even know what you're talking about. You go to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner like everyone else because of the sin of Adam. I know the wages of that sin is death, but I want the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want that gift, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I pray this morning that you've accepted Christ, and if you haven't, you will But if you have, that you follow after him, that you step out every single day and do what you're supposed to. I pray that God will bless you. I want to thank you. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. Thank you for all your prayers and support.